The reading is taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Thank you. Do not worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I said in the earlier service that to celebrate Harvest Festival, I came dressed as a tomato, and that you were welcome too to join in with the fancy dress theme, but actually I think it was just so that Jean could be aware that the preacher was still in the room. It's good. Good. Well, we've got this incredible passage of scripture to look at together. What a relevant passage from the Word for us today. So let's pray as we come to it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is full of wisdom for life. Thank you, Lord, that through it you impart life in us. So, Lord, as we come to listen to you today, we ask that you would give us open hearts, hearts that are receptive to whatever that word is that you want to plant in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Harvest Festival, it looks a bit different to the Harvest Festivals I remember from my youth, because now we do the very practical thing of collecting non-perishable items. But I remember as a child going to Harvest Festival at my grandma's church. She lived in Bedford, and it was surrounded by rural areas, and there used to be a fabulous display of fruit and vegetables, and everyone would bring their kind of first fruits, I guess, to the Harvest Festival. And at that particular church, they had a kind of a harvest supper where everyone had quiche, really. And it was a very, very nice little celebration. And then they would auction off the fruit and vegetables to raise money for a good cause. And I think that there was some kind of competitive spirit thing going on in Bedford, because every year there was an enormous pumpkin. I am talking enormous. I mean, I was a child, so it maybe wasn't as big as I remember it, but my grandma would always bid for the enormous pumpkin. And then my parents would sort of struggle up the garden path between them carrying this pumpkin the size of a mini. And my poor mother would then spend the next several weeks processing this much pumpkin. I mean, what do you do with it? Don't send me your recipes. But she would have to chunk it and cook it and then freeze it. And for the rest of the year, we would have pumpkin pie. I don't like pumpkin pie. But at harvest time, we celebrate the abundance of God's blessing, even if that abundance is in the form of pumpkin. We see kind of the beauty and variety of all that God's made, and it's an opportunity for us to give thanks. Actually, in the Anglican Church, we have creation tide. We have a whole season of giving thanks for creation. But we recognize that God has built increase and abundance into the very order of creation. The seed sown grows and bears fruit and produces 100 more seeds. Now, some of you know that I used to be a botanist at Kew Gardens. I studied the daisies. So I've always loved this passage where Jesus says that we need to consider the wild flowers, because it's literally what I did for a living. And did you know that there are 25,000 species of daisy alone? That's a lot of daisies. God is not stingy. He is generous. He is prodigious, even excessive. And God loves to give. And we are those who are made in the image of God. And we are designed to give too, as we've done today, bringing our gifts to God, as we do week by week when we give to the work of the church. Only sometimes, when it comes to giving, there's something that holds us back. And that is the what ifs. What if I don't have enough? Do you remember back to COVID when there was a run on loo roll? What if there's not enough? I must stock up. We must buy loads and keep it so that we have enough. What if the supermarket runs out of the things we need? And then maybe today we sometimes think, what if God doesn't turn up in the midst of my situation? If you have ever grown anything, give me a wave if you grow your own anything at all. Quite a lot, yes. You know, it's sometimes you put all this effort in and then you wake up one morning and where you had a nice row of pea plants, there's just little sticks coming out of the ground where the slugs have had them all. Or there's a drought or too much rain. What if? When Jesus was addressing the crowd, this teaching was given as part of his Sermon on the Mount. And most people there would have kind of subsisted on the land in some way. And if the crops had failed, then they could go hungry. I mean, here today in St. Francis, I guess a lot of us are a bit removed from that sense of dependence on the land. We have access to overflowing supermarkets with more choice than we could possibly imagine. And in some ways, that has separated us a bit from the celebration of harvest. But if you've ever caught an episode of Clarkson's Farm, then you will see the blood, sweat, and tears, and a few expletives that go into taking a crop to the supermarket. Of course, even though we tend to go to the supermarket rather than grow our food nowadays, we are, of course, completely dependent on what we will grow. We can't escape that. And again, if you've grown something, you will know that however carefully you sow, feed, and water, you are totally powerless to make anything grow. There's something miraculous about finding that first tiny shoot appear from the seed you've sown and watching it develop and flower and fruit. But it was this sense of what if that Jesus was speaking into as he addressed the crowd. And he says, do not worry. Do not worry about what you will eat. I'm often thinking about what I will eat. And if you have ever had to provide food for a family, then you will know you spend a lot of time worrying about what you will eat and drink. Will they eat it when you've cooked it? Is it healthy enough? Have they had their 30 fruit and vegetable this week? Don't worry about what you will wear, says Jesus. Anyone prepared to admit that they worry about that? But Jesus tells the people that are listening to him not to worry about the essentials that we need, that God is a God who provides. We know, don't we, that worry is really bad for us and really quite counterproductive. I've heard it said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. But my guess is that every person in this room, I don't even have to guess, we've all experienced worry, haven't we? And most likely, many of us will be here with something that we are worried about today. Sometimes we worry so much that we're worried about being worried. So Jesus' words, don't worry. Sometimes when someone says don't worry, that doesn't help us much, does it? I wonder how you feel if you are worried and someone says, oh, don't worry. It can be a little bit irritating. We sometimes feel at the mercy of our anxiety. And we need something more than that to help us. Sometimes we feel that our advisor doesn't really care very much about what we're going through. They're not invested. We need to know that someone cares and that they can lift the cause of our anxiety off of us. That they can say, I know how to sort this one, leave it with me. And then we need to be able to trust that they do genuinely have capacity, authority, and skill to sort the problem out. So Jesus doesn't just say, oh, don't worry, and leave it at that. He gives us some great reasoning on how not to worry. So first of all, from our reading, Jesus points to God's power in creation. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. So we have some great visual aids here today. Everybody can look at the flowers. We haven't any birds in church, but we've talked about the birds we enjoy seeing. And again, as someone who's studied a tiny part of creation in detail, I'm blown away by the intricacy and design and complexity that is there. It is mind-blowing. Put your hand up if you enjoy watching a nature documentary. Yeah. Does anyone remember Planet Earth? It was quite a few years ago now. That was a fantastic, kind of groundbreaking documentary about the created order. And just before they set out on that series, there was a wonderful trailer. You can still look it up on YouTube. And it was full of incredible panoramic views of creation. And it had a soaring kind of theme tune behind it. It was really, really wonderful. And I remember watching that for the first time and just being moved to tears at the extraordinary wonder of all that God has made. And we're still discovering the hidden secrets of nature. In hundreds of years of scientific endeavor, there are still so many mysteries, so much that we don't comprehend. So if God can conceive of all of this, of all that we see around us, if he can set the world in motion, if he can fling stars into space, as the creator of heaven and earth who makes seeds grow and be fruitful, who sets up ecosystems in perfect balance, who designs grains of pollen so that they are perfectly shaped for the mode of transport required for each species. If he made the human eye, created consciousness, designed us body, mind, and spirit, then surely nothing is beyond his power. Nothing that causes us to worry is beyond his ability to solve. There's nothing that we are encountering or living through or experiencing that surprises him. He's not rubbing his chin thinking, oh my goodness, what are we going to do about this one? God undoubtedly has the skill to sort the problems of our lives out. Secondly, Jesus points to the love of God. You are of more value, he says. Your Father knows what you need. If he clothes the flowers, if he feeds the birds, how much more? He cares about us. He cares about the things that make us anxious. Jesus is saying, if God cares about the details of the flowers, he surely cares about the details of our lives. And Jesus helps us to see that God is a perfect, loving, heavenly Father. No other religion can approach God in this way. But Jesus shows us what God is like. He demonstrates his love for us. In the epistles of John, he says, you know, if God didn't withhold his own son from us, how much more will he freely give us all things? If you're a parent, then you know you don't want your child to be burdened with anxiety. You will do everything in your power to provide for them and to kind of lift that huge pumpkin of anxiety that they might feel that they're carrying, or to give them the tools that they need to be able to move past their anxiety. And we are imperfect in our parenting. But the Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father. All that we enjoy is given by him. The Bible also tells us that we can totally depend on him. One of the shortest psalms in the Bible is Psalm 131, and I love it. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Now, we've had the joy of a little clutch of new babies at this service, haven't we? I can't see any of them here this morning, but they may be somewhere at the back. And babies are not always calm and peaceful, especially at 3 a.m. and times like that. But when you do, maybe you've held a sleeping baby. Maybe you sort of stroke that soft head. And there's just such a feeling of peace and calm and total trust and reliance. And that's a picture for us of how we can be in the arms of our loving Heavenly Father, who holds us close to his heart, who loves us. So Jesus points us to the love of God. And thirdly, Jesus offers us a new perspective. I wonder if you've ever looked through the wrong end of a pair of binoculars. Well, that's what focusing on our worries is like. Everything seems less. Everything looks like lack. So Jesus says, don't look at all that. Look at me. Seek first God's kingdom. If we seek God first, if he is our main thing in life, if he is number one, then that gives us a God's eye perspective. And we get to see everything else in the light of that. And some of the things that consume us somehow seem a bit smaller. Everything finds its proper place. And that helps us so much with what we worry about. When we pursue him first and foremost, we get clarity about the importance of other things. And the trouble with living in this kind of abundance, the trouble with us being the recipients of all God's good gifts, is that sometimes they can become the focus of our attention. They become the focus of our affections and the source of our security. So instead of being like a weaned child, trusting for provision, we start to stress about having enough. And all of those what-ifs begin to creep in. Or the other thing that we can do is we start seeking the stuff first. And God's gifts are so good, but they're nothing compared to the giver. We start to worship the gift and forget the giver if we're not careful. And it doesn't work out. It ends up robbing us. Because we find that stuff is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. We forget that we are blessed to be a blessing. And we end up keeping, we hold on to what we have. And that is the recipe for a life of worry. I wonder if you can remember back to the Old Testament story of Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. And God says to them, before you leave, ask your neighbors to give you their gold. And something really miraculous happens because they go to their Egyptian neighbors and say, give us your gold, please. And their neighbors say, here you go. And so we read, Israel plundered the Egyptians. And they go out into the wilderness. And what we find that when they're in that place of potential lack, where actually God provides for their every need, but they start to doubt and they look instead to the provision of God. They look to the gold. And they actually melt it down and form a cast idol out of the gold and start to worship God's provision rather than the giver. So how do we keep our eyes on Jesus, trusting him for all that we need, knowing that he is our provider? One of the wonderful things about trusting Jesus, about being in this kingdom, is that we come under the rule and reign of the Prince of Peace, and we get to exchange our worry for trust, knowing that he is loving, trustworthy, a good father. And when we put him first, there is no situation which need concern us. I don't say that lightly, because I know that all of us wrestle with this. We're living in a deeply anxious age, aren't we? It's actually been termed the anxious generation. We see rising levels of anxiety, and it is manifesting in all sorts of ugly ways in our society. And there are lots of things that might give us cause to be worried. The kind of once in a year newsflash that we sometimes saw has now become a regular occurrence. It happens weekly, more than that sometimes. And everything feels a bit precarious. So is it possible to live worry-free in our day and age? Does Jesus actually expect his followers today not to worry? Well, the words of Jesus are the antidote to that kind of anxiety. He tells us God is great enough to handle anything we encounter, that God is loving enough to care about the details of our lives, that he is our provider. He tells us that seeking first his kingdom, holding his good gifts lightly with gratitude, and having him as the one we're pursuing helps us to get our priorities right. So as you sit here in St. Francis Church today, is there a what if that is sitting in your heart uncomfortably? What is your what if? Maybe it's a what if about having enough. What if I lose my job? What if the autumn budget affects me adversely? Maybe you have what ifs about how you'll fit in, about friendships, about relationships. Perhaps your what ifs are around global conflict. Whatever they are, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, speaks into those things today. So I'd love us just to have a moment to respond now. And in the quiet, let's just hold that what if before God. He knows that you need these things. And hear the words of Jesus spoken over that. Do not worry. Lord, we release these things before you now. Thank you that you see each one, Lord, that you know the things that make us anxious, and we offer you those things today. We thank you, Lord, for the message of your word, that you love us so much, that you see all of the things that cause us stress, and you have got them. You are trustworthy. So take these things, we pray, and we ask that you would fill us with your perfect peace. Peace not as the world gives, peace that passes understanding. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
As Sarah was speaking, thanks so much for what you shared. I thought of the image of being tight-fisted or open-handed. And God has been so open-handed. He's been so generous. And yet the temptation Sarah was talking about there is that we hold on to things too tightly, out of fear, really it is. I wonder if we could sing this song very slowly, and it may not be tunefully. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world. And so, Lord, we thank you that you didn't cling to stuff, but you've been so open-handed. You've been impossibly generous in making all things and in our own lives. And so we confess that we find it difficult to be like you at times. We're so anxious that we hold on to sometimes the wrong stuff, and we covet sometimes what others have got, or are not as open-handed as would bless others. Help us to live differently because we are able to trust in you. Lord, thank you for your extraordinary abundance in creation. Thank you that you've given us a world to enjoy that we can't even understand in its complexity, and yet somehow its beauty and simplicity. Oh God, forgive us that we're treating the world like a dustbin. And we don't want to be just feeling guilt. We want to live differently and better because of it. So Lord, help us to shop appropriately and responsibly and not to be greedy and to think about the consequences of our choices. We pray, Lord, especially today for our farmers, many of whom really struggle. And they get such a little reward so often within the total supply chain. So we pray for big business. We pray for our supermarkets. We're so grateful for them. And yet they can have inappropriate power to crush farmers or others in the supply chain. Oh God, help us to have justice in our food supply, in our manufacturing and processing. Lord, help us to live better with your creation. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world. And thank you, Lord, that there's food being brought here. There are people in this church who really care enough to bring something for someone they'll never meet. So, Lord, may there be that radical generosity in us with our giving of money, of giving time to pray, of seeking justice and peace, of a better sharing of the world's resources. We pray, Lord, for Salisbury Food Bank. We pray for the Trussell Trust and every food bank across this country. Lord, we wish they didn't need to exist, but whilst they do, may they do a great job. Please encourage the volunteers, those who are doing that volunteering because of faith, and those who do it just because they're made in your image and care about some of the things you do. Lord, may they be really effective. Lucy, who did our Bible reading, is very involved in that. That's her job. Lord, help the staff of food banks, often when they might feel stressed or dealing with people who are anxious and fearful and maybe difficult, help them to be kind. And Lord, we don't just want to see agencies doing good things. May it be a cultivating a lifestyle in ourselves when we see need that we're willing to consider. Maybe this is a call from God to respond. He's got the whole world In his hand, he's got the whole world. In his hand, he's got the whole world. In his hand, he's got the whole world. In his hand. And Lord, we pray for those who are today in desperate need, who are almost certainly overwhelmed with anxiety. We pray for the people of Israel and Gaza. Lord, it's beyond words. We don't quite know how to pray, but we know you love all people. Lord, please bring peace with justice. And in our own land, we pray for communities that are fearful. We pray especially this week for the Jewish community who've been under attack. But there's also Muslim communities who feel very surrounded and fearful. And there's Christians who feel that. Lord, we pray for all minority groups that feel afraid. And we want this to be a country where every human being is valued and human dignity is recognized. So Lord, help us to live better with one another. And we know it's partly through laws and policing, but it's really through your capacity to change human hearts. So Lord, would you come by your Spirit and help us to work towards a better society? We pray for our religious leaders, especially Sarah, but for all bishops. And we pray for our political leaders. Lord, it seems an impossible task for them at times. The needs are so great, but we don't want to give way to fear. We want to trust in you. So, Lord, we pray for our own MP, for our local councillors. May they work well and cooperatively, rather than always adversarially and trying to catch each other out. May there be wisdom in the systems of government. And we pray for our mission partners who are working hard to make a fairer world. And Lord, we pray that we may be those who are more and more bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.